Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Making a genuine friend feels a lot like a softer kind of falling in love. First comes the realization that you really click. What you say, she gets. What she says feels wise and important to you. Even just being together and sharing such a deep and abiding connection with your friend feels like emotional food and drink. And wonderfully, unlike falling in love, you don't necessarily have to ever fall out of real friendship. Having friends is the way we build our emotional bulwark against the world's cold, and friendship is a mirror in which we see the finest version of who we are. About a decade ago, I met a beautiful and great-spirited woman who became my very dear friend, and she's really my only local friend. A typical lunch together lasts for a couple of hours, and we do a lot of laughing. That's one of the reasons why we have to kind of get the laughter out of the way. We're both so intense in our working lives that we can go for weeks without seeing one another, but then I'll crave her again, my precious friend, Kelly Glover, and today she is our special guest. Welcome, Kelly. I'm thrilled that you're here. We're going to have so much fun with this.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for the sweet intro, Roberta. I love you.
I love you, too. I've invited Kelly as you can see, we do a lot of giggling. I've invited Kelly to join us today to talk about her feelings as she follows the direction of spirit to do important work in the world. She and I are so alike in that. We both feel called to serve, and we serve in different ways, but her work is just as important as mine is and just as important as yours is. Each of us is being called by spirit to serve humankind, and I hope that hearing from Kelly will inspire you to follow your own muse and your own stars. Now, Kelly, start please by telling us, when did you first know you were the most extraordinary singer in the world?
Well, I'm still figuring that out, but I first started singing my first memories of singing was at age 3, harmonizing with my older brothers and sisters and mother.
Wow.
Yes.
So it's just a natural thing in your home. Everybody sang.
Yes.
Okay.
And family.
But then you started singing in churches, right? And doing public singing.
Yes, I didn't start singing regularly at church until 2003, and the church that we go to. I had actually given up singing for a few years after finishing undergraduate and graduate school. All of the joy was taken out of singing, and so joining our church is when I started to sing again, and that's when I start to find my joy again.
But you went to school to be a singer, right, or to be a musician?
Yes, I did. I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., got a Bachelor of Music Education with a voice minor. Then I went to the Eastman School of Music for a Master of Arts in Music Education with an emphasis on voice and ethnomusicology.
Oh, my Lord. Well, it's hard to say you gave up singing. You just weren't singing for the public, but you were preparing to during all that time.
Yeah. Yes, you could say that, yes.
And you and I have talked about this some. You felt that they weren't giving you the education that you really wanted or that would work for you. Talk yeah. about that. They were requiring you to learn to sing sort of a European ethnic way, and you had a much broader range that you wanted to sing in.
Right. So, unbeknownst to me, I did not realize that when most universities around the world, if you are majoring in music and you're either a voice major or a voice minor, you are studying European classical music. I have nothing against European classical music. I think it's beautiful. I think it's great. But that was the only music that we were allowed to sing. And for undergraduate, I went to an historically black college, so I thought it was really ironic that we were not allowed to sing jazz or gospel or blues or anything like that. We had to do it on the down low.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so did the kids do it on the down low? Did they sing together? Because that's a rich heritage to ignore. Wow. Well, that's a good thing.
Yes. Yes, we did. Roberta, we were like the Underground Railroad Harriet Tubmans of our of the music department. We still snuck and sang what we wanted to. Like I had gigs off campus, singing the kind of music that I wanted to, but we had to be very secretive about it. I was in a gospel group for a while. I did R&B, but it was all done off campus. We couldn't let any of our professors know.
That is ridiculous when you think about it. Were they worried it would damage your voices or something? Why would they care?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
There were two things. Our choir director would tell us, you all grew up singing gospel and jazz and R&B, so now is the time for you to learn something different. So that was one thing. And then the very first thing I heard was, you will ruin your voice if you sing that way. So there will be no singing of this and no singing of that. You will only sing European classical music. So, we weren't even allowed to do musical theater. It was really... It was horrible.
That is very strange. Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. They said it would ruin your voice. Well, there are a few popular singers from my era, which is the 60s and 70s, who never seemed to ruin their voices, and they sang some wonderful rock and roll and blues and all of that. So I think that's a failed theory on the part of your teachers, for sure. So that kind of disillusioned you then about singing? Did you start teaching right out of college?
I did for a little while, but then I applied to the Eastman School of Music after that, and it prompted me to do my master's project on where did this mindset come from. So at Eastman, because I didn't really claim a minor, I went ahead and took some jazz studies classes. I was the only vocalist, and so I took jazz studies classes, and they just let me sing whatever I wanted to, and then I formed a jazz trio, and then I decided to do my thesis on where did this mindset come from. And so my thesis project was called The Effect of Vocal Hegemony, that's like the vocal hierarchy, on Rochester City Schools. And so I surveyed all of these different teachers in Rochester to see how that mindset affects the vocal music curriculum in schools and in universities. It was really interesting. I found out a lot of historical background as to where that mindset comes from.
What did you learn?
Well, I learned that in the late 1800s, there was a movement to make all universities study the bel canto style in England, and then it transcended to the U.S. and other parts of the world where only one style was seen as legitimate.
Wow. My guest today is one of my very closest personal friends, Kelly Glover. Kelly is a beautiful singer. She's a beautiful singer, not just because she has a lovely voice, but because it comes from the heart more really than any other singer I've ever heard. You sort of are drawn to her, and you know her, and you love her right because of the heart that's behind the music. And I first met her because the church I had just started to attend when we moved to Austin, she was the lead singer, and I would primarily for a while go to church just to hear her sing. And then she started doing some work with one of my grandchildren, and that's how we kind of became friends. But let's talk about You Better Sing, which I think is a fascinating thing. I don't even know where the name came from, but that's Kelly's great project. Tell us how it got started, Kelly.
Well, it actually started when I was teaching in Maryland. No, when I was teaching in Rochester, New York. my last year of grad school, I was working at a school that had a lot of poverty, and I was having a hard time reaching my students. And so when it was Black History Month, I took out a doll, and I spoke in this really, really high voice like this to teach about the Underground Railroad, a story called Follow the Drinking Gourd. And this doll became a hit. The kids started talking to me, telling me their problems. She was like this celebrity at the school. And I totally clicked with my kids then. So then a year later, I moved to the state of Maryland, and it was in a completely different school, super, super, super wealthy kids. Did the same thing with this doll to teach Black music history. And the kids fell in love with her. She became a celebrity. So one of my friends told me, you should do something with this doll, with this concept. You're a great storyteller. So when I moved to Austin, I contacted the local PBS station, wrote to them and said, hey, I have an idea for a music show. How do I go about doing it? Didn't hear anything from anyone. So fast forward to about six, seven years later, I taught middle school. And instead of teaching music history with this doll, I started to teach ear training and what's called sight singing, the ability to be able to sing a piece of music without having anyone play the music for you on a piano. Yeah. And ear training and sight singing can be a very boring topic. So I would turn into all sorts of different characters. Whenever it was time to sight sing, I would start talking like this. Okay, please take out your sight singing books at this time. And then I would talk like this, like the ghetto fabulous girl and everything. She was TT. And the really valley girl who would talk like this. And all these are characters that live inside of me based on all the different places I've lived in my life. And I decided to turn those characters into a cartoon to teach kids how to sight sing music. And so I ended up leaving the school district and pitched this idea to the local PBS station. They loved it, and I worked on it for a good long time. Ended up leaving the PBS station to just do it on my own, and formed a vocal ensemble to give children recording studio and film experience and some music business experience as well as performance experience, because they sing on the You Better Sing cartoon DVD, and they also sing on the You Better Sing sight singing game app. So it's...
Wow. So it was a gradual thing over years. Yes.
Yes.
Where did the name come from?
You better
sing.
Well,
because it strikes me as a little dogmatic when I can't sing a note. Kind of unfair.
Well, so in the African-American community, if you are singing really, really good, it's a huge compliment. If somebody says, you better sing or you better dance, that means you are really doing the thing. That means it is good. So that was the name, that was my email address, which I got from my ex-fiancé a long time ago. So when I told the PBS station owner here in Austin, when we had our first phone conversation, he asked for my email, and I said, it's youbettersing@yahoo.com. He said, you better sing. That should be the name of your show. And I'm like, oh, that would be awesome. So that's how that came about. Because he knew the context of You Better Sing, like it's a compliment. Like, yeah, you better sing. You're awesome. You're great.
Yeah, and I'm culturally clueless, so I had no idea. I thought it was something like, I don't know, it improves your IQ or something. I had no idea where it came from, and I never got around to asking you. All right, so you got, this was sort of a germ of an idea that was growing in your mind. It was something you thought you could do for children, really, because you were...
Yeah.
You've seen how it helps children to learn to sing well, right? I mean, this is something I've seen. You have this chorus of children, the You Better Sing group that go on TV sometimes, and that just my granddaughter was briefly a part of it, so I got to see it work, and it's the pride that there is in those kids is really, really wonderful to see. I can see how it helps their self-esteem very much to know how to sing.
Yes, and I wanted to create something different than what they get in school, because in school, yet again, the only music that is really allowed to be sung, the only vocal style that is allowed is the European classical music style. Again, nothing wrong with it, but I wanted to offer children something different from what they receive in their classrooms. And I also wanted children of color to be able to see music that represents vocal genres that come from their historical roots. So in You Better Sing, we do European classical, we do a little jazz, we do pop, and I also teach them how to write their own music and how to sell their music, like the music business side of it too. So I want kids to get what I didn't get in college. I want them to get some music business and to learn how to sing in more than one vocal style and be good at it.
What's beautiful is seeing these kids, when Grace was part of it, very unassuming, very small in some cases, especially little boys and stuff, when you sort of get them together and they start to sing, these gorgeous sounds come out of their faces. It's the most amazing thing. Beautiful, beautiful singing. I'm sure they had no idea till you found them that they could do that. So it's wonderful for the kids' self-esteem, if for nothing else. It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. I choose to use music as a tool to help children to remember who they are in a society that gives us tools to dismember ourselves. I find that music is a great unifying force to help us remember who we are as human beings on the spiritual journey. And
this
is just my way of giving back to the world.
You started out and doing really the sort of stuff on PBS and the chorus that I witnessed. But you say you've got a CD and an app. Talk about that.
So when I was with the TV station, You Better Sing used to be an entire show. It was kind of like the music version of Sesame Street and the Electric Company, something like that. So it had real life segments, had world music, careers in music, a music video featuring a child who wrote their own song, and the video that goes with it, and career options in the arts, plus the cartoon You Better Sight thing. So the only thing that seemed to consistently work as I was creating the pilot episode was the cartoon. Everything else, it was always a struggle because, again, I'm a trained music teacher. I'm not a videographer or an editor or a producer. So the only part that naturally flowed over the years of creating the pilot and the second episode of You Better Sing was the cartoon. So I decided to just make You Better Sing an ear-training cartoon and start to encapsulate the other parts of the show in the cartoon episodes. So now You Better Sing is a cartoon DVD that sells on Amazon. It also sells in a national music education catalog called Music in Motion. And it is also, as of last year, a sight singing game app that teaches kids in a fun and entertaining way using the cartoon characters from the DVD how to sight sing, and they get immediate feedback from the characters. They can see which notes they're singing correctly, which notes they're singing incorrectly, and the cartoon characters will say funny things back to them based on what it is that they're singing. And so I'm now presenting at different music education conferences. I'm doing a product showcase in San Antonio for the largest music educator conference in the country, the Texas Music Educators Association. I'll be presenting my app to the music teachers there and my DVDs there and showing them how to bring urban an urbanness into the music education classroom. so that kids from urban settings can see themselves as well, with like hip hop things and again the kind of R&B hip hop thing that I do in the app and in the cartoon, so they can see themselves in the characters and have fun doing it. And as you know, hip hop and R&B, it's kids from all backgrounds enjoy
yes,
it. So
that's the point I would make. I love your little, I should just say these little cartoon characters are kids who are actually musical notes, and they all have personalities and they're adorable. But the thing about your work is that it isn't especially any kind of ethnicity. I think that's what you wanted all along when you were in college. It's just nice. I don't like, between you and me, here's my little confession, I can't stand rap. I can't stand hip hop. It's not that. It has elements of that. Here's my big confessions while I'm talking on live radio. But it's not like that. It's just happy music that you can't really pin down to a genre, which is, I think, part of its charm. It's what music should be. And it speaks to everybody. I'm sure it speaks to kids urban, but it speaks to everyone. But it's also adorable because you have some very, very sort of nasty little characters and some that are very sweet. And it's adorable.
Exactly.
It's just adorable. So, I'm just saying it because it's true. I think it's really sweet. It's no wonder that the schools are picking up these characters and this idea. Let's think about what it is these kids are being asked to learn. They're being asked to read music. Am I right? And then sing the notes that they're reading. I mean, this makes my eyes cross just to imagine being able to do that. And they're little kids doing that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And they can do it. I was today, it was the day before Christmas vacation. And to do ear training the day before Christmas vacation, most people would think I would be committing suicide. And the kids, I turned it into a contest with the game app, and they were asking to see the cartoon. And I'm like, no, we're going to play the sightseeing game like they do, and you better sing the cartoon. And they're like, yay! And I had kids from first grade all the way up to fifth grade just salivating and playing the game and being successful at it. We had so much fun. So
that's wonderful.
I just want to bring the joy to learning.
They should have joy in everything they learn. That's the tragedy of our kind of schooling. Our kind of schooling is meant to stifle this wonderful creative spirit, and you're trying to bring it out and as I said, I keep coming back to this. The kids feel good about themselves when they find they can really do this and really sound good and work together with other kids and sound good.
Yes,
that's
the other thing. It takes the shame out of, there's a lot of shaming around singing because it's your body is your instrument. So if someone criticizes you, there's a whole lot of shame and it shuts people down. And I've seen so many adults who come to my vocal studio who are shut down because someone told them, you sound horrible, you can't sing, never sing again. And it shames them and it shuts them up. And I want to help kids to not have that experience.
Yes, that is so beautiful. But I hope everyone listening can see and appreciate. You have things, too, that are your special gift that you also can develop and use for others. But now, what's next for you, Better Sing? Where do you think you're going with from here? Just building what you already have, or do you have other ideas?
So, yes, building what I already have. I decided to go back into the school system. I'm back in part-time because I wanted a way to see where I should go next now that I'm selling products. I felt like I was losing touch a little bit. I attended my first music educators conference last February, and getting feedback from teachers, even though I still work with kids, not working in the classroom, I needed to get more of a realistic picture. So I do have some more ideas. We're adding more to the You Better Sing game app, and I'm trying to get more funding to get more cartoon episodes done. But now I'll be delving into virtual augmented reality when it comes to You Better Sing. I can't. If I tell you everything, I would have to kill you, and I don't want to do that.
So I will say we are
delving into augmented reality when it comes to the app and some other projects, some really exciting things on the horizon.
That's
wonderful.
To take
things to another technological level.
Now, you think of this as a business, and it is a business, and the word business is not a dirty word. I mean, if your life's work is to do something that is helpful and useful for people, and it also pays you a living wage, nothing could be better than that. That is the height of what we all could aspire for. So one of the things I would urge anyone listening is to think about how your passion to help others also might be able to pay you a living, so you don't have to work. You can just do your stuff full time. That's what I hope my books one day will do. So, all right, what's the biggest lesson you've learned as you've become an entrepreneur and created You Better Sing? Do you have thoughts on that?
Yes. The biggest thing I've learned, the biggest thing I've learned in this whole thing is that I am not my career. I'm not my singing voice. And actually, I am not my gift. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and I express myself through my gifts. I express myself through my job. I express myself through my singing voice. But when my identity, my self-worth is wrapped up in my business and my business isn't doing well or doing the time period that I lost my ability to sing for 2.5 years, I could not sing. I physically couldn't sing. I had pretty much an emotional breakdown, and it actually lasted more than 2.5 years, and I'm just actually now getting out of it completely. It's been a 7-year journey of getting my singing voice back, but for 2.5 years it was completely gone. But during
that
time,
wow, I'm so sorry. Because you said even when you didn't have your voice, you sounded good.
I mean, people thought that I could still sing pretty well, but those who know me, were like, okay, yeah, what's up? Like, I did lose my job as a female lead at church because I couldn't bring it like I used to, and I lost my singing voice because I was so addicted to security. Becoming an entrepreneur was the scariest thing I've ever experienced, not knowing where my next paycheck was coming from, and people looking at me like I'm crazy, like you left a stable job to do what? and all those voices in your head, and then having others mirror those voices in your head as well. It wrecked me. It totally wrecked me, and I realized that I had an addiction to security, and it became a fight to just trust flow and let it go and relax into the unknown. And so what I learned in the darkness, creation begins in the dark. So that midnight of the soul that I had was actually a really good thing because it really helped me to take my business to the next level, to learn how to serve in ways outside of just being a singer.
Wow, beautiful. And do you have advice for people who might be thinking, I want to start my own business? But just between us, of course, we know becoming a business owner is going to become very hot because they're going to reduce the regulation, reduce the taxation, and suddenly it's going to be much easier for all of us to have businesses. Mm-hmm. So do you have advice for people who are in that position thinking about doing it?
I would say surround yourself with positive, like-minded people. Get yourself a very good support group. Surround yourself with people who are where you want to be, say, in 10 years. Always be flexible. If you may have an idea of where you might want your business to go, but it may not be working, If it's constantly not working, then it's time to go inside, take a good look at yourself, meditate some more, and then meditate some more after that. Clear your mind so that you can hear where it is that you need to go. Release attachments to what you think things should be. Go inside and listen and just be flexible. And, be flexible, meditate, surround yourself with people who are where you want to be, who are positive and will be very supportive of you. And then meditate some more.
I have a little story to tell. Yes, you did. I can't meditate. You're just teasing me, just so you all know that. But I have a little story to tell. I've been advising businesses for 35 years, and about probably 30 or 25 years, someone came into my office. I'm an attorney. Came into my office with a terrific product. It was a bag that you could then pull off the top of, you know, like a popcorn bag. You could tear off the top, reseal it with this little handy twist tie that came with it. And he was all excited about it. And in it, he had come up with just a product so he could sell his bag. The product he had come up with was popcorn that had white cheddar on it. No one had ever heard of doing that. It looked like popcorn, but it just tasted delicious. And so he said, what we're going to do is we're going to create this thing called Smart Food, just so we can sell our bag. Yes. So if you find your bag isn't selling, think about selling the Smart Food instead. That's a true story. In the beginning of this hour, I said what I think about friendship, and I'm going to ask Kelly to return the favor. Kelly, when you think of friendship, what are your thoughts about it? What does it mean to you, and how do you make friends, and just what's friendship to you?
Friendship to me is being vulnerable and feeling safe being vulnerable with someone. So during that time that I lost my singing voice, there were some people who I thought were my friends, but when I became extremely vulnerable and all of my fears and all that stuff came out, some people weren't comfortable with my vulnerability, and those who were able to weather the storm with me and help lift me up when all the glitz and glamour of me being this really, really good singer were gone. The people who were there, people who are there for you when you are down and out, and who show compassion for you and can take off the mask with you comfortably, I think that's friendship. People who are comfortable being without the mask and who can be there during the down times too, not just the good times.
That's been part of the fun, I think, of our being friends for so long. When each of us has had either what we felt was a failure or a triumph, we share that, and it sort of makes it easier when you have someone who understands and can maybe give you a suggestion or two. I have found that to be very, very helpful to have. You're right. I mean, you're right. You got to have some. Of course, I make myself vulnerable to everybody. There is no secret I have not been willing to tell on live radio, so I understand being vulnerable. But you're right. In your personal life, there aren't that many people that you really I'm on my best behavior with most people I know personally. You're absolutely right about that. So how do you choose your friends? You just sort of see who you kind of like and click with?
Yeah, I'm a very open person, and when I see another person, I have another. So I call all of my close people like you. I'll call you my beep beep friends. So one of my beep beep friends, her name is Robina. So we have a Roberta and we have a Robina. Maybe it has something to do with those RO names.
Well, so, yes, we're very important.
So when you go beep beep, and then the other person goes beep beep back, and you keep going beep beep, and your heart is wide open, and it doesn't shut down at some point. You keep going beep beep, and that wall doesn't come back up. That's when I know you're my friend, because usually when you keep going beep beep, after a while, a wall comes up, and they don't want to hear your beep anymore. So it's like, okay, I'll respect your boundary. But for folks who can live out loud without the mask and just have fun and not judge and just be there and just be authentically joyful with each other without the wall, that's when I know I've got a true friend.
Yeah, I don't put it that way, but I guess I feel the same way. Part of my problem has been most of the people that I have tried to make friends of are a little overwhelmed, I think, by the intensity of the things that I'm involved in and how important they are to me. But I've never had you, if I was really involved in talking about something, you've never acted as if it was time to turn off. That's you're actually right about that. You sort of take whatever I dish out and you don't mind it. I love that. That's very supportive. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
I love that about you too. Yes.
So I think that ultimately that it's the most important thing that we can find in our lives. My husband is my friend, but in a different way. My relatives are and many people are my friends. But to find somebody who, no matter what you say, they're not going to judge you. They're not going to.
Yeah.
Our inner thoughts are often very different from the little polite things that we say in company. This is why when I was when my husband was practicing medicine and I was a doctor's wife, oh my goodness, the lifted pinkies and the T's and all the things that the doctor's wives did, I couldn't do that. Mm. They thought I was weird, but I couldn't do it because it felt so superficial and artificial.
Yeah.
I always had to be sick the day that they were doing whatever it is they were doing. It was so doctor's wife. It's just, but what? Finding the people who think the way you do, who love to laugh, if you love to laugh, which I love to laugh, and there are very few people who can make me laugh
too.
Like Callie. But that seems to me to be the greatest gift you can give yourself, because there's always then somebody who it's a finer view of yourself you see in that person's eyes, and that's what I love.
Mm.
I love that.
Mm.
I want to make sure.
I love the way you put that.
I want to make sure we talk about your website, though, because we're coming to the end of our time.
Oh.
It's www.ubetersing.org, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the letter U, not Y-O-U, but the letter U.
Yes, good point. U, and then the word better, and then the word sing, all one word together, .org. And you can learn all about Kelly there. You can contact her there if you'd like to do that. You can get her products. And you also have you're on Facebook, right, with You Better Sing, and Twitter. And there's a YouTube channel. So if the thought of helping young children feel good about themselves and really expand just into the fact that they're able to sing so well, if doing that appeals to you, Kelly has all the tools and she's thrilled to give you whatever support you need in getting you started. So do reach out to her if this is something that speaks to you. Any last thoughts, sweetie, before we close down talking together and we get to our last segment?
I just want to say thank you. I have truly appreciated you as a friend and as a mentor. You have truly been a mentor to me, and I'm so very, very, very grateful for you.
But see, here's the beautiful thing. In some ways, you've been a mentor to me, too. That's what I love. You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. And I am so glad you could join Kelly and me today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you fully understand all the implications of that glorious fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. This week, our guest has been my wonderful friend, Kelly Glover. Kelly and I share the need to follow our different callings in service to others, so we encourage and support one another. And what I wish for you as you undertake your own unique service to all of humankind is that you will find real friends like my dear Kelly to encourage and support you all along the way through the good times and the bad, and make more and more of the good. And if you or some of the children in your life want to learn to sing the right way and for the pure joy of it, Kelly's app is a cute and happy way to learn to really sing for all children. Doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. This appeals to every child. Her website is www.ubetersing.org, and you can reach her through the website. You also can find You Better Sing on Facebook, Twitter, and its own YouTube channel. Now, next week, Kelly Glover will again be my guest. When I told her about the topic I was planning to undertake and that I expected to be tackling it alone, she took pity on me. She suggested that probably she ought to join me. And Kelly is uniquely qualified to join me to talk about this very important subject. Dear friends, if uniting the world is the first essential step toward preventing humankind's self-destruction, which is going to happen unless we do things and turn things around, then the conversation that Kelly and I will be sharing next week may be the most important one we ever will have. I hope you can join us and be part of it. Meanwhile, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. We're turning all my books, believe it or not, into audiobooks, and some are already available, so please check them out. I think I may have told you that I recently learned that I have three fiction spirit guides as well, who are led by a brilliant writer, and her name is Marvina. Their work over the past four decades to create the Atlantica saga, I was writing them, I wasn't publishing them, as a companion to my studies of the greater reality, it just was a good way to relax, to use what I was learning. But their work in doing that has given me a project that's going to delight me for the rest of my life. We're finally publishing them. Chieftain's Maiden and Jack in Love begin this series, and there are three more stories already written to be published before the end of 2017. Thank you for checking out my novels. Writing them for you and writing them, frankly, for my own enjoyment is a great pleasure, and it's a great way to relax when otherwise I'm being so intense in this work, which can be kind of consuming, I love it, it's wonderful, but it's like drinking life from a fire hose. When I go to write fiction instead, I just relax, it's wonderful. You can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com, and earlier episodes are being rebroadcast on Dream Vision 7 Radio and on the X Zone Broadcast Network and its affiliates worldwide at xzbn.net. Seek Reality is also available as free podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. And I've just learned that a Seek Reality app will soon be available. So it won't be just Kelly who has an app. I'm going to have my own app. Can hardly wait. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.